be engulfed by the smokescreen of the ongoing ICE raids and the anti-ICE protests.
This is not just about resistance here in Minneapolis. It's about love. So you've got people uniting and coming together in this beautiful way.
After the shooting of Renee Good, the coverage of ICE on CBS, NBC, and ABC was 93% negative. 93% negative is not journalism. It's tribalism.
Let's keep our eye on the ball.
How high up do you think the message went that there was fraud? Do you think it made its way to the governor's office?
I struggle to believe it didn't. I have to believe that the governor's office and Keith Ellison's office were aware of this. They've said they were involved in helping the FBI. They've said they were made aware.
Mr. Dexter, could have something been done about this earlier?
Yes. As I stated in my opening testimony, in the years that I worked there, we identified how fraud was occurring, the loopholes that existed, and we...
What were some of the warning signs, Mr. Dexter?
Well, the fact that part of our job was to go and collect attendance records. We would find attendance records that were either incomplete, non-existent.
But I can't understate it how frustrated Minnesotans are right now with the level of fraud and the lack of accountability. Assistant Commissioner Moore said that through the SWIFT system, through your accounting system, you know who you're paying. You know the people who you are sending money to. You know their name. You know their business. Frankly, you probably know who they're connected to. And through the tools across state agencies and across all of the executive branch, from business registrations to what they have to file with the Attorney General's office, all of those tools exist. So why are payments continuing to people who have been convicted of fraud?
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey's inner circle has been riddled with explosive ties to one of the biggest fraud heists in American history, the $250 million Feeding Our Future scam.
The brazen scheme of staggering proportions.
The largest pandemic fraud in the United States.
The subjects in this case weren't interested in feeding our future. They were interested in feeding their own gluttony.
We have new details on a jury tampering scheme at the center of a major fraud case. Federal prosecutors indicted five people for their roles in offering a juror $120,000 for a not guilty verdict in the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme. The U.S. attorney says the group targeted juror 52 because she was the youngest juror and appeared to be the only juror of color.
Three of Frey's own appointees got nailed. Former senior policy aide Abdi Nur Salah pleaded guilty to wire fraud. Shamarke Issa, twice handpicked to chair the Minneapolis Public Housing Authority, copped to wire fraud and restitution in the millions. Abdik Kadir Inanche Muhammad, tapped for Frey's community safety work group, faced indictments in the same rotten scheme. Add in campaign max donations from at least eight indicted players, plus Frey's own wife, Sarah Clark, lobbying at the firm that shielded Feeding Our Future itself, and you've got a tangled web of proximity, appointments, and unanswered questions screaming conflict and cover.
Look, the fraud's real. We've all got to acknowledge it. The fraud is very real, and by the way, when somebody commits fraud, and there are many that have done that, you investigate it. You charge, you prosecute, you put the person in jail as an individual. You put the person in jail as an individual. You do not hold an entire community, any community, accountable for the actions of individuals.
Frey claims ignorance and distances himself. But how long can the distraction go on for this city under siege by its own local and state government?
Who are the funders, the orchestrators, the facilitators of these riots and these efforts to impede lawful enforcement?
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Get wide awake with Harrison Smith live on the War Room right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour of the War Room is on. We got a lot more to talk about still in today's show, including what's going on at the World Economic Forum and what's going on with the Gaza Board of Peace, I want to touch on as well. But just to finish up, before we move on to the international stuff, I thought this was concerning here. Aviva Frye has been blocked by Harmeet Dhillon, and I've seen a bunch of people apparently been blocked by Harmeet Dhillon. What Aviva Frye was blocked for, I guess, is saying, quote, using the term black pillars to dismiss legitimate concern slash criticism is getting old. And you have to appreciate what a double-edged sword your post is. Yes, you have confirmed that arrest can indeed come within a week. Great. That makes it all the more questionable why you don't do it. And she responds, what's getting old is your complete ignorance of federal criminal procedure, Canadian podcaster. Go grift elsewhere. Sick of it. No, no, no. We're sick of it. Aviva Frye speaks for millions of Americans when he says, this is getting old. This is unacceptable. We are very rapidly running out of time, and we're not going to get another opportunity if we waste this one. So do something, woman. And it's very insulting to be called a black pillar because you expect the people who talked a big game to live up to it. Or to use the term black pillar to describe people who are demanding that you do your damn job that you keep bragging about doing, but seem incapable of bringing any victories home, ever. And this is like an existential crisis for us. Let's go to clip 58 here. This is friend of the show, Tom Renz, talking about 1 year and no accountability. Again, this is everybody that's not an Israeli shill is pretty much on the same page. Even people that die hard love Trump. I'm a diehard. I love Trump. I've sacrificed a lot to support him. I want him to succeed. But that's the problem. He's not succeeding. And we're not going to champion it. Now, if you're an Israeli, you're getting everything you want. Of course, you're going to, you know, be super in favor of all of this because, well, you know, what do you care if illegal immigrants get to flood our country and stay here forever? Because, by the way, now they're basically giving up on the mass deportations. Trump came out yesterday saying, hey, if illegal immigrants are working hard, they can stay. Okay. This is our one opportunity, and we are wasting it. Fantastic. Let's go to Tom Renz here, clip 58.
That's my opinion. I don't know. I think, what else can I say about this? What else could explain this? Why is Todd Blanchard? Why is Valentine there? Why is it that we've only fired about 150 or so FBI agents that when 5,000 of them were working on J6? Why is the corruption so systemic and nothing's being done about it? It is a year into Pam Bondi being in position. And she's done nothing. She hasn't even fired bad people and put good people in place. She is the most inept, incompetent, or corrupt AG. I mean, she makes Bill Barr look good. She's actually worse, in my opinion. This is inexcusable.
Yep. Totally inexcusable. And again, it's like our last opportunity. So what are we doing? What is the strategy here? Like Nick Fuentes was saying, you know, tactics are what happens on the battlefield. Strategy, when you zoom out, you look at, right, tactics are in a battle. Strategy is which battle do you fight? And Trump seemingly has no strategy. And the people around him have a very well-developed strategy. And so while he sort of floats from thing to thing, and he sort of gets what he's supposed to be doing, and he does it very well, but he's either unaware of or simply following the plan, the strategy, the schemes of everybody around him, because he is not the one guiding the ship. Why do we want Greenland? Why did Greenland become this giant thing? Like, what is the point of Greenland? Who is it that's telling Trump that Greenland is this giant thing that we absolutely need to focus on right now? I can think of 8 billion other things that are infinitely more important for everything that Trump concerns himself with. He actually cares about America. 10 billion things that you could do before getting Greenland. If he cares about his own, you know, character in history and how people perceive him into the future, he might want to do some stuff to make sure that his enemies don't immediately destroy his entire legacy and literally send him to die in prison. I can think of 8 billion things to do other than Greenland, but Greenland apparently is what we're focused on now, and we're willing to sacrifice our alliance with Europe to get it. Why? Never even been made apparent. Never even make the argument. Kind of like they never made the argument with Venezuela. They said some things, but weren't really true. So, okay. What are we doing? And the reason this is so imperative to get done now is because we don't have to guess what the Democrats are going to do if they ever get back in power. They've told us over and over, and any chance that they have gotten to exercise any amount of authority in America in the last year, they have used to go as far as humanly possible to act in outrageous ways and impose the most insane laws we've ever seen. Christian Hines on X has been keeping track of this. Props to Democrats for submitting a one-page bill that simply says make fraud legal. It's almost like this bill is intentionally written to recreate the conditions for the Smalley daycare scandal. And this is basically a bill that says you're not allowed to determine eligibility for nonprofit organizations. No state agency responsible for the administration of federal funds shall impose a requirement on nonprofit charitable organization providing a federal public benefit to determine, verify, or otherwise require proof of eligibility of any applicant for such benefits. So it's literally saying that you're not allowed to check if somebody is actually qualifies for the benefit they're receiving. So somebody can say they have a daycare, collect money for their daycare, and they never have to prove a daycare exists. And it's illegal to try to find out. It really, I mean, you might as well write a bill that's like, did you see what they did in Minnesota? Let's do that here. Why would they pass this? Well, because they're moderate Democrats. See, Republicans, the Republican Party, is still stuck in a mindset of 20 years ago and think it's a brilliant and you know, creative idea to run token candidates. If you are a black person or an Indian person or a woman in the Republican Party, it doesn't matter whether you are the best person for the job. You will be run because they think that that's clever. They think that that's creative. They think that the liberals actually care about that stuff. And they think, well, if black people always vote for black candidates, they'll vote for us. No, you idiots. That's not how this works. If they had instead run a Glenn Youngkin type, I don't even like Glenn Youngkin. He was too weak. which is why Virginia flipped like it did. He could have done a hell of a lot more to make sure this didn't happen. They'd run a guy like him, just a responsible, upstanding, somebody that they can trust. But, like, they go with Winston Merle Spears, who I like, Sears or whatever her name is. But time and time again, there's a meme that puts it perfectly where it's just like, you know, Republicans run and it's like, he's a gay Puerto Rican anchor baby who, you know, whatever. And it's like, isn't this so cool? Meanwhile, the Democrats run just like Joe Smith, average American. He's just like, I just think families need help because, you know, nobody should be suffering in America. And then he becomes governor and rules like he's Stalin, rules like he's Chairman Mao. I'm not saying we adopt dishonest strategies because that's what the liberals adopt. But we could stop trying to play in to the ridiculous diversity crap that every Republican roundly rejected in the last election. So why would you be running Winsome Earl Spears? Why would you be running Byron Daniels? Why would you, Donalds? Why would you be running Vivek Ramaswamy? These are not the best options. They're tokens that Republicans run because they actually think that saying Democrats are the real racist is convincing to people. I'm not kidding. Yeah, no offense against any of these candidates. But the Republican Party is like a dinosaur. And it's playing by rules that haven't applied for two decades. And it's trying to play little games with, again, like this goes back to, you know, why John McCain was not a good candidate. It's like, I know, I'll choose a woman as my running mate. That will convince people I'm progressive for some reason. And it's like, first of all, you're supposed to not be progressive. You're supposed to represent conservatism. Second of all, I don't want the most important decision that you might ever make as president, especially as you're an old crippled dude that might not make it through. I don't want that most important decision being made on some like attempt to get a small section of the electorate that cares about identity politics. Like what a ridiculous way to make a choice for who is going to run the country in the event of your death. What an insult to us. Of course, we're not going to be okay with that. Did they forget? We're the party that doesn't care about identity politics. Run the best candidate and we'll vote for them. Run somebody who seems like they can stand up to the leftist insanity and we'll vote for them. You keep running people that you think you're going to like carve off a segment of the Democrats by giving credence to their arguments or capitulating to them on certain topics. Is that what Trump did? Did Trump win by becoming more liberal or did he go farther to the right? Did he become more conservative and won by a greater amount in 2024? How do they not learn these lessons? Why do they think that running these diversity candidates is going to succeed? Again, if they were chosen because they were the best, then it wouldn't be an issue. But they're not. They're chosen because of this retarded version of identity politics that the Republicans try and fail to play. So instead of this, you know, basically purple state Virginia continuing to have a Republican governor, they elected Abigail Spanberger, who is a CIA operative, a CIA agent who almost certainly still works for the Bureau, for the agency, and is now governor of Virginia. And when she came in, the Virginia government issued a raft of laws that is astonishing, mind-blowing. This is at a time when they do not have a mandate to rule. She didn't win by 75-80%. She barely got half the vote. It doesn't matter. She's slamming everything through. They have no concern about the Republicans doing this to us when they get back in power. They're reorganizing the Virginia map to eliminate Republican candidates. They basically made it illegal to check for voter ID. They made it illegal to check if government assistance is going to people who deserve it. They eliminated cash bail, meaning that people get released onto the streets for crimes like rape. Now imagine, now just imagine when they get back in power at the federal level and what they'll do to all of us. And we don't have networks of judges that are going to step in and stop them from doing this. The judges are like the judge that decided not to arrest Don Lemon. They are literally foreign leftist activists in judge robes. They're Pakistani dudes who give interviews about how the most important role as a judge is stopping Trump's agenda. And they go to him and go, "Will you please sign this arrest warrant for Trump's enemies?" And he goes, "Nope." And they go, "Darn it. Okay. We tried, you guys. It's just not, it's not going to work. It's not going to work." And I've got 8 minutes left in this segment. I do not have time to simply read as fast as I can the number of things that have been done by the Virginia legislature within 5 days. 3 days? I mean, how long has she been governor? Like 3 days? In the first 3 days? Let me just see how many I can get through, okay? This is what they've done. Here's what Virginia Democrats have introduced so far. This list is truly insane. Banned future attempts to clean up voter rolls. Makes it illegal for state agencies distributing federal dollars to NGOs to investigate whether they've engaged in fraud. They've made it illegal to hand count ballots. They allow mail-in ballots to be counted 1 week after Election Day, allows for absentee ballots to be received and counted for 3 days after Election Day, gerrymanders the state with a 10-to-1 or 9-to-2 Democrat congressional map, creates a state-level equivalent of the VRA, eliminates the requirement for large last-minute campaign contributions to have to be publicly reported at least 24 hours before Election Day, removes the State Board of Elections' ability to dispatch law enforcement officers to collect vote tallies from a locality that refuses to publish them, joins the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact for allocating Virginia's Electoral College votes to in presidential elections, automatic restoration of voting rights for felons after they've been released from prison and the mentally handicapped. A wonderful, right? Isn't this what every American is clamoring for? If you ask Americans right now, what's wrong with America? If the government could fix one thing, what would it be? Probably 90% of people would say, "I wish felons could vote." That's the real issue. We've got to let murderers and rapists who have been removed from society for 20 or 30 years, once they get back into society, they should have a say as to how our government is run. Absurd. It's like obscene. Why are they doing all of this? Because they can is the answer. Because they have power and they know how to use it is the answer. Public funding of all, we got a lot more here. Automatic restoration of voting rights for felons and the mentally handicapped. Good, you know. What we need is insane people. What we need is the mentally handicapped voting. Thank God the Democrats got elected. Allows for votes to be cast electronically through the internet. Okay, so now we don't even have to have ballots at all. They can just, you know, you can just text your vote, I guess. Publishes funding for all political campaigns at a local level. Abolishes all mandatory minimum sentencing for rape, manslaughter, assaulting a law enforcement officer, possession and distribution of child pornography, and all repeat violent felonies. They're removing the minimum sentence for the most heinous crimes possible to commit. Why? Because they can, I guess. Because they love the criminals. Because the more population feels unsafe and chaotic, the more power the government can accrue to itself. So why not? Let the criminals out. Let the child rapists out with no minimum sentence. You put it up to the discretion of the judges. Remember, the judges who are left-wing activists and agree with all this crap. They've made it harder for judges to deny bail, even in the case of things like aggravated assault, armed robbery, and drug trafficking. Gives convicted murderers, rapists, and terrorists a chance to get out of prison early. Thank goodness. Drastically reduces the criminal penalty for robbery. Bars prosecutors from mentioning a criminal's prior convictions during the guilt phase of a trial, even if it's for the same crime. Transfers the Department of Juvenile Justice from the Secretary of Public Safety's purview to the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Reduces the amount of time that the Commonwealth can compel a convicted criminal to pay court fees. taxpayer funding for transgender surgeries, bans most discretionary state contracting under $100,000 from going to businesses owned by white men, and allows state agencies to award contracts to women or minority-owned firms that are 5% more expensive than a bid from a business owned by a white man. Okay, so just laws deliberately discriminating against white people and businesses owned by white people. Publishes VMI for adopting an anti-DEI stance. Punishes VMI for adopting an anti-DEI stance. Abolishes all Confederate-themed license plates. Abolishes the tax-exempt status for all Confederate history groups. Oh, good. So just literally eliminating our ability to study history. They're eliminating the tax-exempt status for history groups that focus on the Civil War, a major event that's like the defining historical moment for Virginia as a state. But you can't study it and be a tax-exempt organization. So how do you even organize? That is such a crazy violation of the First Amendment. It's literally history. What do you mean you can't have a tax-exempt status for groups studying the history of your state? There is no barrier to what these people want to do. And they'll do this is 3 days, folks. By the way, here, come to the overhead shot. You can see where I am on this list, but you can't see where I am. Zoom out a little bit so we can see the full paper. All right, so I'm about 3/4 of the way down this page. But the thing is, this page, all the stuff I've read already, is one of multiple pages, folks. That's what they've done in the first 3 days they're in office, including laws against gun ownership, laws outlining specific attachments to guns, getting rid of minimum sentencing for the worst crimes in the world, getting rid of judges' discretion when it comes to sentencing for the worst crimes in the world. It just goes on and on and on. No mandate, a little over 50% of the votes, and they go full bore getting everything they possibly can immediately. They've renamed Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day, made it illegal to approach within 8 feet of somebody within 40 feet of an abortion clinic. It's an insane expansion of the FACE Act. Enshrines a leftist narrative about January 6th and teaches it in public schools. So now public schools in Virginia are required to teach January 6th as an insurrection. That was Donald Trump's attempt to overthrow the government. Enshrines allows localities to adopt rent control measures. Increases sales tax in Northern Virginia, adds an additional sales tax for home deliveries, raises a car tax for electric vehicles, imposes new sales tax for streaming services, concerts, gym memberships, nail salons, barbershops, tanning beds, tattoo parlors, dry cleaners, shoe repairs, carpentry, painting, plumbing, electric, HVAC, landscaping, and housekeeping work for homes, swimming pool maintenance, travel agencies, and shipping services. So yeah, go ahead and raise taxes on literally everything. Raises a hotel tax in Arlington. Imposes a brand new 7.75% tax on incomes over $1 million, creates two new tax brackets, one over $600,000 at 8% and another over $1 million at 10%. They've been in power for less than a week, folks, and I'm less than halfway through this list.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get Ultra Methylene Red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'm telling you, you know, the thing is about this is none of what the Democrats are doing would be possible in the slightest if they didn't have still a monopolistic control of the mainstream media, because they participate with the Democrats in their lies. They help to perpetuate it. I mean, just like we talked about with the ICE crap, they just make stuff up. They just completely lie about what's going on deliberately to inflame passions, to cause outrage. Totally fabricated, total lies, but they know exactly what they're doing. And they're building up the facade. They're building up the illusion that's going to drive people to action that they can then take advantage of. And the same thing with Abigail Spanberger. If the media at the time, you know, pointed out what she would really do when she governed, nobody would have voted for her. But she runs as a supposed moderate. She sells herself as a moderate. So you have a bunch of low information voters in Virginia that go, well, she knows what she's doing. She seems like she's got a good head on her shoulders, grew up here, cares about the country. Yeah, we'll vote for her. Then she gets into office. So they think they're voting for a moderate. They don't think they're voting for a radical left winger. She doesn't present herself as AOC or Ma'am Donnie or, you know, somebody that runs on a platform that's extremely to the left. She runs on a center left platform, then immediately goes into just full bore tyranny mode, starts to pass this incredible laundry list, this wish list of socialist talking points. And that might inspire outrage in the people that voted for her, thinking they were voting for a moderate, except they have no idea this stuff is going on. Why? Because the mainstream media isn't reporting it. The mainstream media is covering for her. What do you think the headlines say if you look up Abigail Spanberger? Are you going to see Abigail Spanberger issues raft of far-left agenda? Abigail Spanberger's moderate position dissolves as soon as she gets into office. Look at this incredible list of mind-blowing laws that they're trying to bring forward. No. I looked it up. It's things like this. Virginia Democrats reintroduce assault weapons ban, this time with likely ally in Spanberger. Governor Glenn Youngkin, whose term ended Saturday, had vetoed about a dozen Democrat-introduced gun laws that passed the General Assembly during his tenure. Yeah, doesn't seem that radical. Like, good thing that Glenn Youngkin guy's out of the way. Finally, a reasonable person can ban guns in Virginia. Yeah, Daily Beast, MAGA goes into full meltdown over their new dim villain. No, she's a literal villain. She lied as she was running because she knew that if she had gone on the campaign trail and said, I'm going to take your guns, I'm going to make sure white guys aren't hired for anything anymore, I'm going to let rapists out on the street, and judges aren't even going to be able to throw them in prison. I'm going to make it illegal for them to do so, and I'm going to remove the minimum sentencing for murderers and rapists and kidnappers and child sex offenders. Who would be voting for her? Nobody would vote for her. So they lie about what they're going to do. The media covers for them. The media spins it. The media portrays them as moderate and reasonable. They get elected. They go absolutely communist. They start issuing fatwas and act like, you know, Joseph Stalin's less intelligent sister. And then the mainstream media covers it by saying Governor Spanberger outlines agenda to tackle affordability in Virginia. Oh, is that what she's doing? Tackling affordability? I just listed 15 new taxes that she invented. What? So this is the thing. Low information voters, they aren't following any of this. They only get what is delivered to them on a silver platter by the local news or by CNN or by Apple News or by any of these leftist organizations that's in on the scam. And they know full well if they presented what was actually happening, moderate people that voted for Abigail Spanberger would be infuriated. So they just don't report it. So nobody knows. So then the only people reporting it are people like me that are like, what is going on? This is insane. And you have a bunch of people like Daily Beast being like, MAGA goes crazy over their new villain. And it's like, people of Virginia, you were lied to. You were screwed over. You are being screwed over. You are about to be in a prison state. And you're about to be replaced by a bunch of Somali scam artists that are being given carte blanche because they're making it illegal to even investigate whether the money's going to where it's supposed to go. But they have no idea. But the people of Virginia have no idea that that's what they voted for. All they're getting is Abigail Spanberger sets sights on affordability. Abigail Spanberger may be an ally to the, you know, Democratic gun rights group. And it's just like, they have no idea. They have no idea. BPM, Governor Spanberger makes policy promises in first General Assembly address. Yeah, totally normal, totally, you know, reasonable, nothing extreme or anything, right? They literally just don't report on it. The people of Virginia have no idea what she is doing to them. Unless they're right-wingers and they watch Fox News, and even then you're not getting the full impact of what she's doing. Should I keep going? I mean, I'm literally less than halfway through the list. We've already talked about not sending rapists to prison, not being able to count votes, not being able to check the election totals. voting by electronic mail apparently is now a thing that they're going to do. You can't determine whether or not the billions of dollars in federal funding is actually going to who it's intended to. You're not allowed to investigate that. You're not allowed to make sure that people qualify for the... And by the way, here's 100 new taxes we just came up with. For every profession we can think of off the top of our head. And also two new higher tax brackets for people that make over $600,000 or $1 million a year. Oh, and by the way, I'm a CIA agent. Oh, by the way, you voted for a CIA agent to run your state. Well done. The leftist, right? More taxes. Sorry, I didn't even get through all the taxes she's imposing. Imposing a 3.8% investment tax on top of the state income tax allows every locality to raise state sales tax by 1%, raises the state sales tax for Stafford County, rounds up all state and local taxes to the nearest 5-cent increment, allows localities to outlaw gas-powered leaf blowers. Oh, thank goodness. Imposes new personal property tax on electric-powered lawn equipment. Oh, good. So you can't have gasoline-powered stuff, but if you want to have electric stuff, we have an extra tax to tag on to you. Limits the ability to use self-driving or autonomous vehicles. Allows state and local governments to implement traffic and speed cameras. Put speed cameras on state highways, requiring a license plate to buy a firearm, right? So just, again, eliminating your Second Amendment. Assault weapons ban strips gun rights from anybody convicted of a misdemeanor hate crime, right? So felons can vote, but people who say the N-word can't own a gun. Great. Making it illegal to shoot a firearm on lot sizes less than 5 acres, expands gun-free zones, shrinks concealed carry reciprocity with other states, holds firearm manufacturers liable for gun deaths, imposes 11% sales tax on all firearms and ammunition, imposes a $500 sales tax on firearm suppressors, drastically raises physical requirements to operate a firearm store, makes it harder to obtain a concealed carry permit, makes a new taxpayer-funded state propaganda center for the sole purpose of promoting gun control, ends qualified immunity for police, targets ICE by banning the use of facial covering by law enforcement officers, makes ICE agents liable for civil lawsuits filed by illegal aliens, prohibits ICE from arresting illegal migrants outside of courthouses, establishes a state propaganda commission to publicize supposed negative impacts of ICE raids in Virginia, creates a state-mandated playbook for how schools must respond to ICE showing up on their campus, and bans school employees from assisting ICE, unionizes government employees and gives them collective bargaining rights, unlimited taxpayer-funded home purchases for government employees, preferential hiring in state government for federal employees laid off by DOGE, defers property taxes to federal employees during shutdowns, hikes minimum wage to $15 an hour, eliminates minimum wage exemption for farm workers, mandates the hiring of new bureaucratic position in every a career coach in every single public school, mandates mental health screenings for all public school students between 6th and 12th grade. Let me read that one again. Mandates mental health screenings for all public school students between 6th and 12th grade. So your child, if sent to public school in Virginia between middle school and high school, every year will be forced to sit down with a psychiatrist of some sort who will be screening them for mental health conditions. What could possibly be the positive benefit of that? The only thing that's going to happen is, one, you're going to see a lot more transgender students, as they absolutely will be mandated to push that regardless of what complaint the kid has. Even if the kid doesn't come in about gender stuff, it will always be one of the first things asked. Well, do you think this has something to do with your identity? And then God only knows, you know, what else they're going to try to do with quote unquote mental health. I'm sure anti-Semitism will be a mental health disorder. So your kids will, you know, learn real quick not to question the actions of the state of Israel or something. Why would I ever want my 11-year-old being alone in a room with a doctor from the state who I guarantee you genuinely believes that having conservative values represents a mental illness? I mean, that's all that, you know, psychiatry is at this point. It's a secular religion. And that's basically it. Like stuff like that. I mean, there are few, like there's so many of these things that they're doing, and together, you know, it's the overwhelming amount, it's the avalanche of tyranny that we're experiencing. But there's just a couple of these jump out that it's like, what? Mandated mental health screening? You people think that men are women. You are not qualified to determine mental health of anybody. You're all insane. You're all insane, discredited liars. You do not have mental health. You cannot determine mental health. I want to see mandatory mental health screenings for everybody that voted for this bitch. Do you have any idea? I mean, you know, I'm like getting chilled. It's like so actually terrifying to think that little kids in their most impressionable phase of life is going to be forced to sit down one-on-one with some fat, blue-haired retard hopped up on SSRIs who are going to try to medically diagnose their opinions. I mean, that is terrifying, honestly. It literally just goes on and on. Let student graduate high school despite failing grades. Why? Every one of these, you could just go, but why though? What is any of this doing to help anybody? Have you heard a single thing that I've read that would even accidentally give a fringe benefit to any law-abiding taxpaying citizen? Every single thing I've read is an imposition of a tax or a benefit for criminals. 100%. Has anything I've read even look like it might accidentally help people? It'll help illegal aliens who don't want to get arrested by ICE. It'll help rapists who don't want to go to jail. What is the argument for any of this? If she presented this to the voting public, would they have voted for her? And if so, what do we do about that? What do we do about people who read this and go, yeah, good. Things will get better now. It just goes on and on. Eliminates nearly all academic benchmarks for college students to continue receiving federal aid, financial aid. So there you go. If you want to get financial aid, you don't actually have to, you know, go to college. You can just sign up for college, never go, and still be paid as if you're a student. And by the way, there is a Somali daycare fraud pilot program. That's what she calls it. But yeah, essentially, it's the same thing Mamdani did, right? In the midst of this scandal of daycare fraud exploding, costing billions upon billions of dollars, every socialist that gets elected is like, we're going to do that. We're going to do it even more with even more money, and we're going to make it illegal to investigate. Is there a reason to do this? Is there an argument? There's not an argument. There is no argument as to why any of this would be positive for anybody. I mean, literally, there's not an argument. Like, I'm trying to think of what the argument would be. I mean, what is the argument for not requiring a passing grade to graduate? Who does that help? It only helps the failures. Why is everything in this bill or in these bills, in this list, why is everything focused on benefiting and uplifting the worst people and punishing the successful? Everything in this list, including the gun control stuff, which is just punishing people that follow the laws and not the people that commit the gun crime. Again, just wild, truly. Allocates $100 million in taxpayer funding for the production of sustainable aviation fuel and eliminates the ability of health insurance provider to charge a premium for smokers, adds a new insurance mandate to cover over-the-counter condoms, mandates unconscious racial bias training for nurses to retain their license. This list was by Christian Hines. That's Christian H-E-I-E-N-S. Because thank you to that person for putting this list together, because It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing, and it's just a little taste, just a little preview, just a little sampler version of what will be done in America if the Democrats get back in power. And she's got a couple years to keep going. This is just the first couple of days. Who knows what societal norms will be left in her wake when it's all said and done. And some of the things she's doing, I mean, it's just flagrantly, blatantly illegal. Just saying that you're not allowed to hire companies owned by white men. So, we got a long way to go, folks. We have a very, very, very long way to go. And these absolute scum in the Democratic Party are just pulling one over on everybody. And it's so obvious. And if nothing else, I really just hope, the bottom of my heart, that there's something in Democrats, there's something in their voters that recognizes that you're being lied to, that you're being made fools of. How do you not, like, how are you okay with that? How are you okay with your leadership just blatantly lying to you? And think about how different it is for the Trump supporters. They're like, we're furious at Trump. And like half the people who voted for Trump aren't going to vote him for next time. Like, we expect results. And when we're lied to, we're pissed. The Democrats don't care. They either know it's a lie and they're fine with that because they understand that if we told the truth, we'd never get elected. So we have to lie. Because they genuinely don't like democracy that they keep claiming they're fighting for. It just goes, it goes on and on. Let's go to clip number one here. Because again, like, you, I hope you feel like idiots. I hope every Democrat feels like an idiot all the time because you allow your leadership to lie to your faces over and over and over and over and over again. Let's watch clip one.
Not one person ever in my office has ever used the word Latinx.
I'm so, like, so can we finally hell? Put that to bed?
Yeah,
we
agree. But where did that even
No come? More Latinx,
like,
everybody.
Well, I just didn't even know where it came from. I'm like, what are people talking about? Impactful this has been on the Latinx community politicians that are banning not assault rifles, but the word Latinx.
Nothing I dislike more than the politician that is, sits there and lies to you. And we all just sit there rolling our eyes going, give me a break.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you're totally right, sir. And again, we just say it over and over, but they lie because they know how stupid their ideas are, right? Same thing we've explained over and over. You know, you had Vice News early on. We're like, hey, you know, this COVID-19 thing looks like it's leading to a vaccine mandate and we're going to have vaccine passports. And the immediate response from the left is like, what? That's crazy. No way that's ever going to happen. You're insane. And then after a year of propaganda, they're like, how dare you not have your vaccine passport? You need it to get into my restaurant. Like, but the first response, usually the right one, or the Latinx thing. The response at the beginning of that video was the correct and obvious response. Latinx, what the hell is that? No, I'm not using your stupid language. Who even came up with that? That's retarded. They know. They know that that's the correct response. But they spend a year or two using those words, using that language, and acting offended if you don't, and saying you're a racist if you don't, only for it to fall out of file and they go, fall out of style, and they go, yeah, that was stupid. That was retarded. We never should have done that. Yeah, like everything you people do, every single time, over and over and over and over and over. Why do we let them vote? Why do we let them vote? We don't have that long. Let's go to a few videos here of what Elon Musk said to Davos. We can go to clip 44 here. We have time. This is not, to me, a particularly uplifting prediction, but 44, Musk's prediction about robots in the future. Let's watch.
And actually, my prediction is in the benign scenario of the future that we will... The robots will actually make so many robots in AI that they will actually saturate all human needs. Meaning you won't be able to even think of something to ask the robot for at a certain point. Like there will be such an abundance of goods and services. Because My prediction is there'll be more robots than people. So,
but how do you then have human purpose in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing's perfect, you know. it is a necessary. You can't have both. You can't have work that has to be done and amazing abundance for all. Because if it's work that has to be done, then only some people can do it, then you can't have abundance
then
for
all. Then it's narrow.
Yes, narrow. Yeah. Exactly. So, but if you have billions of humanoid robots, and I think there will be, I think everyone on Earth is going to have one and going to want one. Who wouldn't want a robot to, you know, assuming it's very safe, watch over your kids, take care of your pet. If you have elderly parents, a lot of friends of mine have said they have elderly parents. It's very difficult to take care of them.
And expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive, and there just aren't enough people to take care of there aren't enough young people to take care of the old people.
Right.
If you had a robot that could take care of and protect an elderly parent, I think that would be great. That would be an amazing thing to have. I think we will have those things. So, I mean, overall, I'm very optimistic about the future. I think we're headed for a future of amazing abundance, which is very cool. And definitely, we are in the most interesting time in history. I think there's a more interesting time in history.
So. I don't know. It sounds like hell to me. I don't know. It kind of sounds like hell to me personally. Sort of fits perfectly in line with, everything Larry Fink and Klaus Schwab always talk about and believe. It's just like I was saying earlier this week about minimizing the distance between desire and the fulfillment of that desire. It seems like Elon is in the mindset that brings happiness and fulfillment when it obviously doesn't. That's the thing about Elon. It's like, you open up Twitter, amazing. You hear him talk, and it's like, yeah, you know, he loves free speech. That's great. He believes in humanity. He thinks we should be a multiplanetary, you know, interstellar species. All that's wonderful. Then he actually describes what he thinks the future should look like, and it's like, oh, a billion robots just taking care of our bodies while we're in some Neuralink digital world. Like, no, that actually sounds like hell. That actually sounds awful. I don't want that. I think we should kill all of the robots. Actually, I think for the sake of humanity, the robots need to be murdered and ground down into dust and then thrown away. That's actually my vision of the perfect future, is all of the robots being murdered. The end. See you tomorrow, folks.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy is a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things, and their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans, and we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP. And it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle. And it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.